Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bish, Cake, CB, and JP.
Yes, sir.
Our pal Kevin McCarthy, Fox 5, will join us 9:45. Tell us if The Accountant 2 was worth seeing. Give us his take on the movies. But joining us right now to talk some NBA playoffs from Athlon Sports is Sean Devaney, NBA writer. What's going on, Sean?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Of the series that you've watched, which one was your favorite so far in this first round?
Well, I mean, the one that's still going on, the Clippers-Denver, that was always going to be a really good matchup. Mm-hmm. It looked after game three like the Clippers were really going to take control of that thing, and they probably should have. They are the better team, but they're also the Clippers, and we've just seen historically that things just kind of go that way. They go sideways for the Clippers more often than not. And we've seen that they had a good win, held on for a good win there in game six. So we'll get a game seven there. Kawhi Leonard's played much better. He's certainly at the beginning of the series, he was great. Been a little bit down since then. But you've got the best player in the world, and that's Jokic on the floor. Going back to Denver, that series has been everything it was cracked up to be.
Denver's been in a bunch of game sevens in the last couple of seasons. I wanted to ask about James Harden in particular. He's got a rap as not being a clutch player in the playoffs. And we saw in game five, he barely took any shots. But then game six, it was like, you say that Jokic is the best player in the world, and I agree with that. But there are some times when James Harden's unbelievable.
Yeah, where he's just unstoppable, and for him in that game five, for him to take nine shots, it was bizarre, but it shouldn't be, right? Because we've seen it time and time again. You go back to that famous game six when he was in Houston against the Warriors, where he just was a no-show, and he's had a few of those, and it's bizarre how that happens. It's bizarre how a player of his caliber lets that happen. He's 35 years old now. It's kind of built into his legacy, but here, he's got a game seven where he can, at least kind of change that narrative somewhat. It's probably not going to be enough in a first round series to change the way James Harden is viewed by history. But at the same time, this is a team that's good enough to beat this Denver team, and this would be something where James Harden's got to go onto a hostile environment in Denver and really have an impact where he didn't last time out.
Sean, what were your takeaways from the Tyrese Halliburton's dad incident with Giannis? He's been banned from Pacers games for the quote foreseeable future at this point. Just an embarrassing incident there.
Yeah, it was. And, it's one of those things that these things happen, and sometimes we get our hair on fire about these things. And you step back, it's look, Halliburton's dad apologized. Giannis kind of said, you know, shouldn't do that. It's disrespectful. But Giannis, thank God it was Giannis, by the way, because a lot of other superstars would not have had the restraint that Giannis did. So that kind of blew over. Tyrese Halliburton was quick to say, yeah, that's wrong. He shouldn't do that. And even though it wasn't, you know, the league that got involved, it was the team that kind of got in front of it and said, yeah, we're not going to allow him in here anymore. So I think that this will die down pretty quick. It certainly looked ugly at the time, but the reaction to it has been such that I think it'll diminish pretty fast.
Can you fill me in on what's going on with Curry's thumb and whether the Rockets are trying to pummel it?
Well, I mean, oddly enough, there's only one Rockets defender who really seems to be doing that, and that's Dylan Brooks.
Shocker.
I know that will shock no one, So Curry hurt his thumb back in January, and he's kind of dealt with it throughout, and he hurt it again right before the playoffs, and I think it was in the play-in. Is it in the play-in game, or was that last game before the play-in game? He hurt it right before the start of the playoffs. Jammed it again. And it's swollen. It's a little gnarly, but he can play through it. He's wearing a splint, when he's not playing. So it's definitely bothering him. Obviously, we've seen him play. It hasn't affected his shooting. But if you're the Rockets, they're looking at that as that's a vulnerability on their best player, so we're going to try to take advantage of that. Now, the league allows you. Obviously, you can't hit a guy while he's shooting, but after the follow-through, if you make contact with the player's hand or arm, that's okay if you're following through as well. So what the Rockets have been doing is wait till Curry's done with his follow-through, Dylan Brooks in particular, and when his hand is down at that point, you can kind of follow through yourself and whack the thumb. And that's what we've seen Dylan Brooks do. How effective it is, I don't, it's hard to hit a moving target like that. But no question that they've got out. And they asked Brooks about it, and he didn't deny it. It's not illegal. He's definitely taking aim at that.
So the Knicks advance, man, it was tough to watch how the Pistons just kind of gave away multiple games in the last, few possessions, especially the way they lost game three, blowing that lead. Game four, obviously there was the non-foul call, but to blow that lead at home, and then obviously last night to blow that lead, they just couldn't. JB Bickerstaff's guys just couldn't figure out a way to close them out. I mean, they could have easily won all of those games. So your take on how that series ended, especially last night?
Yeah, I mean, experience matters. There are definitely instances where the talent will outweigh the lack of experience, but the Pistons aren't so overloaded with talent that they can overcome that, and I think it really showed. There was a point late in the game, where Cade Cunningham, Brunson had hit a layup, and the Knicks were there, and really the Pistons just needed one more basket. It seemed like they could have from there and kind of milked it, and Cunningham comes down and he has a pretty good shot. He hits it off the, it's a shot he makes a lot where he uses the backboard, kind of goes high off the backboard, and he's got that shot pretty well down, but he missed it. And from there, that sets up Brunson, makes a three. So this is definitely an experience thing. And for a guy like Cade Cunningham, I think it's a very good learning experience. This Knicks team has been in a lot of playoff series the last couple of years, so they were definitely more prepared for it. The Pistons certainly look like a team to reckon with going forward. They need a little bit more, no question. But what we saw from Cade Cunningham, I think there's a lot of promise there. But the experience, they were lacking, and you really saw that at the end of these games where the Knicks were just one step better because they've been there before.
Well, they also got the gift of not getting the foul call in game four.
That was a gift.
Yeah, it was a gift.
No question. But you could look at that game too and say, the Pistons probably shouldn't have been it. They probably should have had a bigger cushion at that point. They should have. That was a foul, and the league admitted it.
So do you like Denver in game seven tomorrow at home?
It's hard to pick against them just because of that home court advantage and all that. but I just believe that the Clippers are the better team. It's really going to come down to, you know, if you watch last night, Nick Batum played 34 minutes. He defended Jokic pretty well. I mean, Jokic got his numbers, but he did a lot of fronting on Jokic, prevent the inbound pass, kind of force him into the corner a little bit, into an uncomfortable spot. So do the Clippers come back with that? Do they come back with a lot more Nick Batum? It's hard to believe that we're talking about Nick Batum as a deciding factor here in 2025. But, you know, he's been that good. And do the Nuggets have an adjustment to that? I just think the Clippers are the better team, so I'm going to go with that. Tough to win in Denver, tough to win a game seven against a team that, like you said, has been there before. But I just think the Clippers are deeper and have more talent. I think ultimately the Clippers win. But, man, it's tough to pick against Denver at home.
What either team, they're going to face the Thunder, who are by far the best team in the league. Do you give any of those teams a chance to take down the Thunder?
No, I don't. Like I say, the Clippers, I think that they have a lot more talent than they played up to. They have a very good coach in Ty Lue. They've got some players who just kind of let you down, though. That's I think the Clippers would have a better chance, but I just can't see. And, you know, we mentioned the experience factor before, and obviously Oklahoma City doesn't have that. They don't have the experience factor, but they have such an overwhelming level of talent. Alex Caruso does have some experience, obviously, so that helps. But I just think the talent level in Oklahoma City is enough to get over whatever deficiencies and inexperience they have. And that goes through this round, and 95% sure it'll go in the next round as well.
So Boston is a huge favorite over the Knicks to win that series, understandably so. Cleveland is a pretty big favorite to beat Indiana. I mean, Cleveland's regular season stats were ridiculous, leading the league in scoring, their point differential. Yeah. Point differential was crazy, but defensively they're not Boston, and certainly don't have the experience. You were talking about the experience. Boston probably will be favored. Do you think Boston should be, if they do face each other, which they probably will, do you think Boston should be favored over Cleveland?
Yeah, I do think so. I think that for everything that the Celtics sort of went through this year, they still managed a pretty good season. They did have a little bit of that championship hangover where they kicked some games away that they shouldn't have, but they just, it's hard to get up for it after you've just won a championship. So I do think the Celtics in the end will have the advantage. I'm curious to see about Jrue Holiday. Obviously didn't play the last few games there in Orlando. He's got a hamstring injury. I've heard that it's okay. If there had been a game six in the Orlando series, he would have played. So we'll see how he plays in that Knicks series, if that hamstring's still an issue, if it's something that he re-injures. Hamstrings can be very tricky, and Drew's not a spring chicken. So that's definitely something to watch. I don't think the Celtics can beat the Cavaliers down a man. I think that they've been able to do that throughout the playoffs the last couple of years, whether it's Porzingis, who was hurt a lot last year, or now Jrue Holiday. I don't think they can do that against Cleveland. Cleveland's too deep for that. Everybody's got to be 100%. They're still watching Jaylen Brown's knee, which was an issue coming to the playoffs. But if the Celtics are healthy, I think that that their talent level is just too much for Cleveland to keep up with.
Sean, we talked about this a little, I think, yesterday. How would you evaluate overall J.J. Redick's job that he did with the Lakers? He seemed awfully ornery, obviously, as the season progressed, yeah. And it kind of ended poorly for him, not in the way I'm certain that he wanted. And then I read comments this morning, that big headline, obviously, we need to be in championship shape. And well, every person on the planet knows he's talking about Luka, amongst others. Is there a rift there? Just kind of give us your overall take on that situation.
Yeah, he's a rookie coach. He had never coached before. And I think the argument that if you go back to last summer, the argument you could make against hiring him is, you know, you've got a 40-year-old superstar. Do you really want to live and die with a rookie coach making rookie mistakes? Mm-hmm. And you know, that was to me, that was the concern. And he made rookie mistakes in the playoffs, you know, and the stubbornness, you know, you can't afford to be stubborn in this job, not necessarily dealing with the media, you know, all that stuff. That's a bad look. He should not, you know, he should have handled himself a lot better in terms of, especially if you're going to be in LA, you're going to be on the spotlight. You've got to be able to handle yourself with a little more tact and a little more dignity and all that. But beyond that, you know, the stubbornness of just not putting Jackson Hayes in, even as Rudy Gobert is absolutely killing you, or coming out of left field and playing Alex Len. You know, I mean, just doing something different as you're getting killed, you know, on the boards, you got to make some adjustments. He didn't do that. Obviously, the decision in the previous game four, you know, playing five guys for 24 minutes straight. And not just that, but what gets lost in that is that they played Friday night. Luka was sick, stayed in bed all day Saturday, then ended up coming back and play Sunday afternoon. So it wasn't really 2 days off. I mean, they had, you know, a day and a half. That was a terrible decision. And then to not own it afterwards, you know, so all these things are rookie mistakes. So I think the thing is that I think he'll be okay and he'll make adjustments. I don't worry about his relationship with Luka. They were teammates in Dallas. For a short while in 2021, they've got a good relationship. He can probably talk to Luka in ways that other coaches can't. But at the same time, yeah, you know, I mean, when you put a rookie coach in charge of a veteran team, you can't be surprised that rookie coach winds up costing you in the playoffs.
Good stuff, Sean. Always appreciate you joining us. That's Sean Devaney, NBA writer for Athlon Sports. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. All right. Appreciate it, buddy.
Kind of a weird show that we haven't talked any Caps, because during playoffs it's usually like every other day game.
In a weird spot, not knowing when the next freaking match is.
Yeah, we're like in a holding pattern now.
But we did talk about them yesterday, that Carolina is actually the favorite in this series, according to odds makers. I put it up as our poll of the day, brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka. Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, the perfect addition to any gathering. Each can only 100 calories. With zero carbonation, that means easy sipping. You can find Surfside at your local bars and in convenient variety, 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. I'm curious how people will vote. You can vote at Junks Radio. Should the Capitals be the favorites in their second round series against the Carolina Hurricanes? I'll vote yes.
The one seed. I will throw a vote to yes as well. Being disrespected.
I don't know enough about it. I would say yes based on the seeding.
Yeah.
And the regular season we had.
They split in the regular
season. How many wins did they have in a regular season?
It was like a four-game difference.
What about points?
Yeah, that was a significant.
Yeah.
We were significantly ahead.
Yeah, because they have more overtime
wins
or whatever the heck it is.
All right, well, that's
or
something.
Or no, tie, whatever it is.
I mean, we're not even that good. We're terrible in shootouts. It's not like we got a lot
more
of those.
Those are done.
I know those are done.
Carolina had 47.
I will say yes, it's disrespectful, but I am scared.
They had more overtime losses.
And I'm always scared.
That's what it is. The Capitals had more
overtime losses, so they got the extra
still
point.
Get a point.
Yeah.
I'm always scared.
You're a scaredy cat.
I'm a scaredy cat.
I think that's your worst quality. It's just how scared
I don't
you
have
about
that.
Everything.
I don't have that arrogance for my teams, etc.
You're just so fearful.
I don't like to be disappointed.
Like someone so alpha like you.
I am so alpha.
It's called
so
a healthy dose of paranoia.
I don't have arrogance for my team.
Actually, you're not alpha anymore.
He has a lot of PTSD.
I think I'm alpha in life. I'm an extreme alpha male. I just have the testosterone raging out of my ears. But I just don't have the arrogance of my teams.
So you're a little scaredy cat.
I'm a scaredy cat, and I don't like heights.
And snakes.
Plenty of people afraid of heights.
But by the way, next week is going to be a lot of Caps.
Yes.
Fantastic.
I mean, we don't know when they're going to start. I'm going to guess it's going to be Tuesday. But so if they're going to play Tuesday, Thursday, or Wednesday, Friday, it's going to be a lot of Caps next week.
Anyway, you can vote at Junks Radio. Coming up next, we have EB's entertainment page. Don't go anywhere.
Caps coverage is brought to you by Ace Computers. Ace Computers proudly recommends Windows 11 Pro for the U.S. military. Made in America. Check out acecomputers.com right now. Now, Little Birdie told us that if the Winnipeg Jets close out the Blues tonight, there's potential for the Caps to host game one of Caps Canes Sunday night at at Capital One Arena. Now, that's not...
It's not a definite.
Have your red ready to rock.
That's from Rumorville.
Because apparently the NHL doesn't want a vacant night, especially a weekend, without any hockey. Right. So if Winnipeg plays, they play tonight.
They do play tonight, yes.
If they lose...
Then a game seven would take that slot.
Right, and maybe Washington would open up Monday night.
Potentially.
Okay.
I just think that that's hard. I mean, I guess it's either Monday or Sunday, right? It's basically a one-day difference. It's hard when the guys don't know when you're going to play.
And on a sad note, no more monumental sports coverage of the series. Yeah. They all go national now.
Right,
right.
So you're going to get inferior calls of Caps games going forward. But that's just the nature of the beast at this point.
Right, right.
So Joe B. and Locker, have a nice off season. We'll see you again in October.
Well, what, that just
you were tuning into the wrong station anyway.
Well, I did that, but I realized the error of my ways, and I switched about 8 or 10 minutes in.
Just
I admitted being a bad Caps fan.
It's just opportunity for them to come on our show.
That's a great point.
Give us their take.
Yes, give us their expert take on as the Caps Canes
playoffs progress. Hopefully,
yes. All right. Why don't you give us your expert take on the entertainment page?
So, are you rooting for Winnipeg to close out so you have something to watch Sunday, or do you want to watch it Monday?
Jason wants it to be Monday because he wants to hype it up during the show.
Yeah, I want to talk about it on Monday. Yeah.
Well, we do a recap on Monday.
Sooner is better. I kind of rooting for Sunday
because you feel like you're on a heater.
I hate Sunday nights.
I get the Sunday scaries every single week. So that'll help fight off the Sunday scaries.
I swear to God, this helps. Booze.
Sunday, I usually
that's your
don't
solution
do
for almost everything.
It does. Because if you can't sleep, you just get a little drunk.
No, I don't do that.
You just drink a little bit.
As long as you're moderate.
Who doesn't
before
do
you
that?
Go to bed?
I heard of a very famous person that does that.
We should have a liver test.
A liver test?
Yeah.
Sure.
Who has the most spots?
I don't want that.
So who has the most fatty
liver? We've always talked about having, haven't we? We've talked about having the T test, the sperm test.
I would do all these things.
Add that to the list.
I think mine is overstated, to be fair. I play 3 or 4 times a week, and I was joking about you're drinking too much. He goes, I've barely ever seen you drink. See?
If we do a test and you have to draw my blood, I can do that. But I would need to look away. I don't even like talking about it. I don't like seeing my life force drained away in a vial.
No, but
even
I would recommend
it's a little bit of it.
If it's a Sunday night game, Jason, just stay up and just have a beer or two on, and that'll help you fall asleep.
Yeah.
It does help.
I'd fall asleep earlier.
Yeah.
Okay, start it during the game.
What I'll do is I'll watch the first period live, and then I'll get up at friggin' 3,
right,
like I do every morning, and watch the rest on DVR.
I wake up.
And that sucks.
Every night anyway. All right, the entertainment page is driven by BMW Fairfax, DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner. For the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine, get over to BMW Fairfax. Ask for my girl Miriam. She's the general manager. Of course, you can check them out at BMWFairfax.com. All right, good news here, boys. Great news, actually. Elijah Arenas, welcome home with gifts and flowers after his Cybertruck crash, Cakes. There's video of him, and he's walking around. And he looks pretty good. And, you know, for a guy who was in such a devastating accident, who was writhing around in pain, now, obviously a lot of it was the smoke inhalation, which can be deadly. We know that very personally through our buddy Brett's tragedy with his brother. He looks remarkably unscathed.
Yeah.
That's so he'll be good to go for, is he going to USC. USC or UCLA?
Yeah.
USC.
He's USC guy.
SC gave him the big sack of cash.
I tell you, considering everything that guy's been through, he looks like he ain't going to have any problem balling, you know,
If they gave Rodney Rice $3 million, how much are they giving him? It has to be like $5 million, right?
Yeah, that's a great point.
It has to be way more.
Where
than
is
Rice
he ranked
getting
in his class? Is he like one of the top five guys?
Super. I think he's like a projected top 2 or 3
pick.
26 NBA draft pick. He's got to be, top of his class.
Right. So yeah, he's probably getting. If they're giving freaking Rodney Rice $3 million,
he's getting $5 million.
He's getting $5 million.
He has to.
Yeah. Great point, Cakes.
Can you imagine being eight? Can you imagine being 18 years old and getting $5 million handed to you? What would you have done at 18 with $5 million?
It's crazy.
Steve Smith.
The college sports world is just crazy.
Steve Smith is in the news, and not for great reasons. Of course, remember, we talked about the guy who accused him of having an affair with his wife. He's actually filed a lawsuit against him under the homewrecker law. That ain't good case.
No, it's not. You know what? I already don't like Steve Smith Jr. because I think it was last week he was cranking up the storm siren for the Carolina Hurricanes before one of their games against the Devils. I don't like him. Don't like Steve Smith Jr. He's in the crosshairs. Well, do not like that guy.
Well, neither does Anthony Martinez.
My reasons for it are way different than his.
Asking for over $100,000 from him in a civil lawsuit. I would think he would ask for more. Now, here's what's interesting about it. In the homewrecker law, it lets a spouse sue the person impeding on or breaking up a marriage. Martinez, to prove it, has to show that he actually had genuine affection in his marriage at the time of the alleged affair. So it can't just be a situation where we're technically married, but we were seeing other people, kind of know what I mean? And then you can't just jump in there and sue a guy. No, he has to prove somehow that he was still
the marriage was on good terms.
Yeah, it was on good terms, and he was in love, and this guy freaking ruined his life.
Consummating.
Right.
And he's being sued in the state of Maryland?
Ooh, that's a great question, Jason.
Yeah,
why do you say state of Maryland?
Well,
no, it's a civil lawsuit in North Carolina's Mecklenburg County Superior Court.
Because that's Charlotte.
I thought she was a Ravens employee or a Ravens...
she was in the band.
She was in the band.
Yeah.
Right.
Because didn't they meet in... Because he was up in Baltimore. That's where they met.
For a game.
Right.
For a game, because he was doing some TV show, and they met. And that's where it started.
Right.
You can't say that.
You can say that. There's nothing wrong with that.
I have a gap there. Come on, Valdez. You're the one that planted the seed.
He's overly sensitive over there.
Just keeping you guys employed.
I do appreciate.
I don't know if this is a great
employed.
Look for Shannon Sharp, considering everything he's been sort of accused
look how red
of.
He kicked his face.
Well, my eyes are just—they're killing me. No matter how many, I could put a billion drops in; it's not helping.
Shannon Sharp says, "I've known Smitty 20 years." He actually putting this out. He was just at my party at the Super Bowl. Had a great conversation with him. Hard nose. The way he plays, X, Y, and Z. But, bro, you need to take that up with your
wife.
Did he
do his Hard Knocks bit and say, I demand my restitution, that whole bit?
No, he said, you want to read this? Read this last line. No, it was a great one. Read him with his bad S's from right here. But, bro, start right there.
All right, I'll see what I can do.
Do it with your...
Bro.
But bro, you need to take that up with your wife. Smitty owes you no loyalty.
Right.
I don't think that was Shannon Sharp.
No, it was better before.
Yeah, it was better before. It was organic before.
Right. All right. I don't even know. So I know the song I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It or whatever, the Katy Perry. Is that the same song that this chick that died wrote? It's what's Jill Sobule, singer of the iconic 90s anthem, I Kissed a Girl and Supermodel, dead at 66.
Ooh.
So there was another song called I Kissed a Girl?
I guess so.
Gotta play that.
It's from 1995.
Play it, Valdez. See if we recognize it.
Give me one second, sorry.
And Supermodel.
I Kissed a Girl.
See if you can find that. While you're looking for that.
How did she pass?
Oh, my. A house fire. Terrible.
Oh.
Another smoke thing, probably. I got to make sure all my smoke things are
working. Make sure your smoke alarms are working. Carbon monoxide detectors are good.
Right.
Don't sleep on those.
I got nervous last night because we went upstairs and it was like 78 upstairs. But our AC wasn't on. This is I Kissed a Girl.
You've never heard this song. It was a top 20. Oh, yeah, man. We had a drink, we had a smoke. She took off her
overcoat. I kissed a girl. I think I do know that.
I think I've heard it before.
Totally different than Katy Perry song.
It's not as popular, obviously, as Katy Perry.
I know there was legal turmoil because of the title.
Because it was an openly gay song.
No, just the, I think she sued Katy Perry for the title of the song.
Okay.
Which I don't think you could do because there's a million songs with same titles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kanye, speaking of suing, is suing either his dentist or his mom's dentist. He's suing some dentist.
As long as he's not suing your dentist.
Don't sue my dentist, Dr. Mora.
Sue your dentist.
For allegedly fostering nitrous gas dependency.
Oh,
because you know there's been these rumors out lately that Kanye's been, he's addicted to nitrous gas.
To the laughing gas. Okay.
Oh, so that's where this
is
coming from.
It does make you feel silly. I can understand probably getting addicted to the feeling.
So is nitrous gas, is that the same thing as like meth? Believe me, I have no idea.
I don't think like so.
Crystal meth, you mean?
I have no idea, man.
No, it can't be the same thing.
Is it different? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's
a dumbed down version of it.
I know nothing.
Because I know they say Justin Bieber's addicted to meth, they think. That's a speculation.
Yeah, I don't think that's the same as nitrous oxide.
Nitrous oxide?
Don't believe, I could be wrong.
How does that cause you to be dependent? Like, how do you get addicted to nitrous oxide?
Because it gives you, like, a euphoric feeling, and I guess you just keep wanting it.
Right. It's nice for euphoric feelings.
Euphoric feelings are amazing.
I love euphoric. Euphoria. I don't know. I got Kevin on. There's more stuff. At some point, maybe next week, we'll talk about Tom Cruise. And you know what his latest stunt is in the latest Mission Impossible?
I don't.
This sort of, I think it's kind of the, my guess is, this is me guessing. I don't know this.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of the highlight is, wing walking.
Oh, nice. Geez.
He's like legit wing walking.
Sounds very dangerous.
He's psychotic.
He's psycho. Mm. Psycho.
I prefer ground walking.
Right.
Over wing walking any day of the week.
Coming up next, we will talk movies, all things entertainment with Kevin McCarthy from Fox 5.
All right, before we get to Kevin, let's get quickly to the keys to the game brought to you by Chenega Mios, relentlessly ready, MIOScareers.com. This is in case the Caps wind up playing Sunday night. There's a rumor going around that could potentially happen if Winnipeg wins tonight and closes out the Blues. Key number one, dent the Canes' top-ranked penalty kill. They're at 83.6%. That's what they did during the regular season. Caps coming off of Game 5 against Montreal where they were 2-for-3 on the power play. Let's keep that going in Game 1 against Carolina. And key number two is exploit the Carolina goalies. Frederik Andersen has been very good in the postseason. He went 3-1 in the series against the Devils with a 1.59 goals against and 93.6 save percentage. But those are much higher than what he did during the regular season. So let's get back to Frederik Andersen regular season type numbers against the Capitals. And the Caps have the sort of offense that could make that happen. Those are the keys of the game brought to you by Chenega Mios. Relentlessly ready, MIOScareers.com.
All right, joining us right now is our pal Kevin McCarthy, entertainment reporter for Fox 5. And Kevin, I saw you sit down with The Weeknd, amongst others, and talk about music and movies.
Yeah, you and Abel Tesfaye.
Yeah, is he? He seems like he's into movies now.
Dude, that was a crazy thing. So I was messaging him on DM on Instagram just about this new movie that was coming out, this movie called Hurry Up Tomorrow. And like, he's just, you know, a major film fan, like a huge cinephile. And when I found out who was directing it, this gentleman named Trey Edward Schultz, who did Waves, and it's being shot on 35mm. So we were just kind of geeking out about that. And then I got an email that they were going to do some press for it. And it was him and Jenna Ortega and Barry Keoghan and the director. And I was out in LA and I was able to sit down with him and talk to him about the film. What I love about him, and if you watch the clip on Instagram, he's a huge cinephile. So is Jenna Ortega and Barry Keoghan, just kind of like talking about film scores and music. And I don't know, The Weeknd's music to me has always been extremely cinematic, which makes a lot of sense because you can like hear a lot of cinema like in his music and the way he operates his songs. They feel very movie-like. And I don't know if you guys remember his Super Bowl halftime, but I thought his halftime performance was incredible. I know this was the one, if you guys remember, when he went below the stage and he grabs the camera and he like takes you around below the stage while he's singing the song. It was really kind of an immersive thing. And I think he's coming to where the Commanders play on August 2nd. I always forget the name of the
Northwest Stadium.
Yeah. But he's, I think he's coming there on August 2nd. But yeah, he's an incredible filmmaking fan. And his movie's called Hurry Up Tomorrow. It comes out May 16th. Because he wasn't he in Uncut Gems? And then he, this movie that Hurry Up Tomorrow is basically kind of not based exactly on him, but he's playing himself in the film. And he's kind of he's a musician who has an insomnia, and he meets this fan, I think, Jenna Ortega's character. I've only seen 30 minutes of the movie. And essentially, he's taken on some crazy odyssey that is all about self-discovery, and it looks wild. If you guys haven't seen, like, Waves or It Comes at Night, this director is really great.
What's the name of that movie you're talking about?
His movie's called Hurry Up Tomorrow.
Hurry Up Tomorrow.
All right, only got a couple minutes, Kevin. Yeah. I'm going to push you here because we want to hear about Accountant 2 if you're able to review that.
I haven't seen Accountant 2 yet. Because
What are you on to talk about today? Sorry.
Oh, no, the big movie today is Thunderbolts. That's the big movie. Yeah, so
what is that
Accountant
one?
2.
It's from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, EB.
Oh, my God.
It's butt size. You're ready for this.
Go ahead. Give it to him, Kevin.
Give him the breakdown.
Obviously, the big movie right now is Sinners, and if you guys haven't seen Sinners yet, I highly recommend seeing it. I've seen it three times. But Thunderbolts is the new Marvel film. This is the 36th Marvel Cinematic Universe film to come out since 2008. The first one was Iron Man. 36 movies later, these movies have made, I think it's like $32 billion worldwide, I think, all together. And so this is a group of, you know, kind of anti-heroes who have kind of band together to try and take down a certain bad guy. And I won't go into the specifics or there any spoilers whatsoever, but you've seen a lot of these characters already within the MCU. So Florence Pugh's character, you obviously saw her in Black Widow. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, she's been in a few of the Marvel films, Wakanda Forever, Black Widow, and also Falcon and the Winter Soldier. David Harbour, who plays Red Guardian, he was in Black Widow as well. So a lot of these characters you've already seen. But a lot of the actors in the film, two of them, particularly Wyatt Russell, you know, he's the son of Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn, and then you have Lewis Pullman, who's Bill Pullman's son. And so I'm very interested to see kind of how the film does. It's an incredibly well-made movie, and it deals a lot with mental health and anxiety and depressions in certain ways. It's a very grounded superhero film. Even though it is a Marvel film, it's a very human-driven film in terms of the thematics of kind of how it plays out. I was very impressed with the action and the cinematography and the direction and the music by this group called Sun Lux. It's just a really fascinating Marvel film, and it feels different than a lot of the Marvel films we've seen recently. And I think the biggest problem with Marvel over the recent years, especially since Endgame, is a lot of these movies didn't feel like they've had stakes. They felt, you know, not safe in a way, but there's been some great ones. I loved Shang-Chi. I loved No Way Home, but yeah, I just feel like a few of these Marvel films over the recent years haven't really lived up to what the older films was. Deadpool, Wolverine's great, but this movie kind of sets a bar for a new direction for Marvel, and I'm really hoping they stick with this grounded nature of character-driven pieces like this, and then in mixing in the action and the comedy. But this is a lot more of a serious film than anything else. It felt like more of like a drama. And Sebastian Stan, obviously, returning as Bucky Barnes, who's incredible as well. So are you guys MCU fans?
I've liked about 10 of them, I would say.
I was more into it when my kids were younger. I'll be honest, I've kind of gotten out of that world, Kevin.
The Marvel films obviously have been a huge part of all of our lives. I find it interesting.
We only have a minute here, Kevin. We literally only have a minute, so yes.
Yeah, well,
it's been a huge part of your life. I like the Iron Man movies.
I don't.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, I enjoy all these films. So I gave this movie a 4.5 out of 5. I really enjoyed it. Lewis Pullman is fantastic in the movie. His character, I won't go into specific details, but his father is Bill and his mother's Tamara. Bill Pullman, obviously, you guys all know, who's an incredible actor, but he's fantastic in the film. So highly recommend seeing it if you guys have a chance. See it in IMAX if you can, because it has some really cool IMAX shots as well. But I really dug it. But if you haven't seen Sinners, go see Sinners. That's a 5 out of 5.
All right. So. Sinners, 5 out of 5, 4.5 for Thunderbolts.
Have
Kevin,
good
stuff.
Later, Kevin.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Do you think EB's seen one of the Marvel movies?
Maybe seen one.
Oh yeah, I've seen one of the ones with Robert Downey Jr. Yeah.
Gotcha. All right, we got to get out of here. Everybody have a great weekend.
Yep.
B. Mitch and Finley, they're coming up next right here on The Fan.